Amen. I give honor to my beautiful wife. Amen. She's put up with me for 5 years. Amen. And I appreciate her very much. Amen. I most of all, give honor to my God. Amen. The one that changed my life. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel a good spirit in the house this morning. The book of Hosea, chapter number 2. I'm going to start reading with verse 14. The Bible says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Acre for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." Verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali." And I know this is a very familiar topic, possibly to most of us, amen, found in the book of Hosea, but I'm going to do my best to give to you what God has given to me this morning. Amen. For the next few moments, I want to preach to you from Baali to Ishi. From Baali to Ishi. Why don't we lift up our hands all over this house and let the Holy Ghost talk to us. Oh God, in Jesus' name, God, we love you. We magnify you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. But God, we want the Holy Ghost to talk to us right now. In the name of Jesus. God, I want you to speak to every one of us. Oh God, we need the Holy Ghost to move right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you have expectancy in this house, you ought to lift up your voice for just a minute and say, God, I want you to talk to me today. God, I want to commune with you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. Oh, God, we magnify you, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands one more time? Hallelujah. And thank him for what he's going to do in this service. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can be seated all over the house. From Baali to Ishi. We see that there was a name change in our scripture text, and by the help of God, that's where I really want to get to today. But we see in the first chapter of the book of Hosea that the Bible tells us that God tells Hosea the prophet to go marry Gomer. Gomer was not your normal wife. She was not faithful. And for the lack of a better word, she was simply just a prostitute. She was someone that was lost, did not know God, did not understand what her purpose was in life. She was someone that was struggling. Someone that did not know God. Not necessarily that you would be this extreme, but she was someone that was just in a life of sin. A life that was far away from God. And she did not know what to do with her life. Their life, no doubt, was a struggle. The Bible does not tell us every simple detail about what happened and the ins and the out, but I can't help but let my mind wander as I begin to think about this. Really, what is a beautiful story that the Word of God tells us. A beautiful story that I pray before we end today we can all look at it a different way. We see that Hosea the prophet was doing the will of God. He was walking with God every every day of his life. He was close to God. He could hear God's voice in his life. And one day God told him to go marry Gomer. Go marry someone, amen, that wasn't quite like him. No doubt Hosea did not understand why God was doing this. No doubt he had doubts in his mind what God was up to, but yet he was faithful to God and he obeyed the voice of God in his life. That'd be good preaching right there. Amen. If we can learn to obey the voice of God in our life, if we can learn to obey the man of God in our life, even when we don't understand what we're doing, we're going to follow and we're going to trust him. Amen. Because I can tell you this morning that God has your best in mind. He has your best interest in mind. And sometimes when we're walking through fog and we're not walking by sight, amen, but we're walking by faith. We have to learn to trust God in these times in our lives. Because every person, you're going to go through a test. Every person, you're going to go through trials in life. And this was something that Hosea was going through. We can see the story. Help me tonight. I want to help paint you a story of the life of Hosea. We see a man that really came from a higher class of people. He was a prophet, a man of God. And he went and married this lady. Amen. That was a prostitute. Amen. The prostitutes were the ones that were on the other side of the tracks. They were the ones that didn't live in the high class. They were the ones that would live in the slums. And yet he goes and he trusts God and he marries this lady and he loves her genuinely. He really does love her because God told him to love her and he was going to stick with her. And we see that he takes her old rags off. He takes her garments off and he gives her new garments. He gives her a new wardrobe. He gives her a new life. He gives her a new home. He does everything he knows to do, amen, for Gomer, to make her love him like he loves her. And we can see that through the first and second chapter. Go back and read it if you're not very familiar with it this morning. But for the sake of time, we see that there's times that she would wander off. Amen. Everything would be going good. He would give her everything she needed. Amen. She came from nothing and now she's into everything that Hosea has given her. And she loved him. But there was a love for the world that was drawing her stronger than her love for her husband. We see that one day, finally, when Hosea would think, I have it all together, and I finally got her convinced that I have gave her the right life, and I have gave her the best life, we would come home from work, and Gomer would be gone, and he would be wondering, where in the world is my wife? Where in the world is my bride? And he would go back to the slums. He would go back to her old world, and he would pick her up, and he would take her home, and clean her up. And we don't know how many times this went on in their life, but we do know it happened several times with the struggles that even me and you face in life. A world that is drawing on you, and a world that is trying to take you back, amen, to where God brought you from. And finally, we can see 6-7 months go by, and she has it all together, and it looks like it's going to be okay. And finally, when Hosea begins to put his guard down, and he can rest at night easy, and he can understand when he wakes up, his wife's going to be there. But finally, the morning comes, and he wakes up and rolls over, and Gomer's gone again. And he goes and finds his wife, and he says, why can't you understand that I love you, and I'm trying to give you a better life? And no doubt Gomer, with tears in her eyes, would say that, Hosea, I know you love me and I love you, and I don't know why I keep going back to the world. I don't know why I keep going back to this whole lifestyle. I don't know why I keep living, leaving my home and going back to the old life and going back to my old ways. Hosea, I understand that you have everything to offer me, but there's something about the world that it's hard for me to get it out of my life. There's something about my old past that it's hard for me to get out of my life. Amen. And if you've never struggled, amen, you don't understand what I'm talking about, but I believe if you have red blood going through your veins this morning, you know what it's like to struggle. You know what it's like for the world to pull on you. You know what it's like for things in the world to catch your eye, and you have to make a decision, and sometimes we fail, but sometimes we pass, and I can't help but when I think about this story, I can't help but think about my story. I can't help but think about what God has done in my life. Amen. Every time Gomer messed up, Hosea was there to pick her up. Every time she ran away, Hosea was there, amen, to clean her up and forgive her. Every time. The Bible tells us, amen, this is like our relationship with God. Amen. You can't do enough wrong for God not to love you. You can't run far enough away that God will not love you, and that God will pull his hand from reaching for you. But I'm thankful that there is a forever reaching hand from God to pull us up out of the muck and the mire and clean us up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God never gave up on me when I was faulty. Thank God he never gave up on me when I was running from him and I wasn't living the way I knew to live. Hallelujah. Thank God that he knew how to love you. Thank God that he knows how to love you when you're not doing right. Thank God that he knows how to love you when you're struggling, when you're in the valley of decision. God still loves you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him, but only because he loved us first. Hallelujah. That's the only way you know how to love today is because God loved you. The only way you know how to love your spouse this morning is because there was a God that loved you, that put love in you. Amen. The only way you can love your parents, young people, is because God loved you first. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that the love of God is so deep and the love of God is so strong in this house this morning. In the name of Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved this world. God so loved this untoward generation. God so loved a world that has turned his back on him. God loved a world that was full of sin and carnality, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but can have eternal life. That's the kind of God that I'm talking about today, that he will love you despite your sins, and he will give you eternal life if you will turn to him. He said, I'll give you a door of hope, amen, for a valley of anchor. Hallelujah. No matter what, God still loves you. Every time you mess up, God loves you. Every time you fall away, God loves you. Every time you've been unfaithful to God, he still loves you. Oh God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that love of God. Amen. I'm not here. I'm not. Can I take this off? In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you don't think just because I'm an evangelist, hallelujah, that I live up in the clouds and I live up in the stars. Amen. I don't live for God because I'm perfect. I don't live for God because I'm some great thing. But I can tell you this morning, the only reason I'm in the house of God today is there's a God that loved me. There was a God that smiled on me. And you might be fighting this morning thinking God does not love you. But I'm telling you right now, God loves you. God cannot replace you. God needs you today. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In our scripture text, the Bible's talking about Gomer. He said, I'll give you a amen, in exchange for your valley of acre, I'll give you a door of hope. Amen. This valley of acre, you look up the meaning. It is a place of trouble. And I'm telling you right now, God said, I'll give you your troubles. I'll exchange your troubles with hope. I'm here to tell you this morning that hope is your confidence that you can live with for God. Amen. In the midst of your troubles, God will open a door that'll he'll make a way where there seemeth no way. I'm telling you, in the midst of your troubles, God will open up a door. And I'll tell you what that door is. It's a door of hope. It's a door of love. It's a door of despite what you've done, come on home. Despite what you said, just come on home. Hallelujah. And we see, and we can understand, every time Gomer left, every time she left, she got back in trouble. She got back in the valley of Acre. I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to look at your battles a little different than you've been looking at them. You need to thank God for your troubles. I'm here to tell you this morning, every time I wavered, if I would not have ran into trouble, Brother Marshall, I would have never, come on, I would have never knew that I needed a God to love me. Every time I tried to walk away from God, if I would have not have found trouble, I would have never made myself back to an altar. I would have never made it back to the house of God. But I'm here to tell you, thank God for troubles. Thank God, amen, for the days when I was backslidden, that God kept me up at night. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. You better thank God, amen, for the problems you're going through right now. You better thank God, amen, because if everything was perfect when you left God, you wouldn't need him. But the reason you're going through the things you're going through is because God is trying to draw you closer. He's trying to draw you closer to him and say, you don't understand. I'll take your troubles and I'll give you hope. I'll take your troubles. I'll take your burdens and I'll give you something light. I'll give you, oh, come on. I'll give you love unconditionally. I'll give you love. I'll give you love even when you don't deserve it. Oh, God. Ooh, I don't deserve love today. Oh, but I'm telling you right now, thank God for love. The Bible says in Isaiah 60:61-3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm here to tell you this morning that God does exchanges. He'll take your troubles and he'll give you hope. He'll take your problems and he will give you love. He'll take your ashes. You can come to this altar this morning. You can lay your ashes down and you can pick up beauty. You can come to this altar this morning with mourning and you can get up with joy. You can come to this house with a spirit of heaviness and you can leave here with God putting a coat of love, a cloak, amen, of praise in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. He'll take your troubles. He'll give you love. Hallelujah. God's love is the only reason we have hope. Thank God for the trouble. Amen. Them troubles aren't to rebuke you. Them troubles aren't to draw you further away from God. But Brother Marshall, the troubles in my life are to draw me back to an altar. The troubles in my life are to draw me closer to God. I'm going to tell you this morning, when my prayer life starts slacking a little bit, the troubles come. When my fasting life starts slacking a little bit, the troubles come. There's people that get mad and bitter and say, well, God doesn't love me. No, the troubles are there because he loves you. He wants to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, but the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, and the Holy Ghost is given unto us. Amen. You want that hope? It's found in the Holy Ghost. You want a love like you've never felt before? Let God give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You want something that'll sustain you? Let God give you the Holy Ghost. You want something that'll keep you out of the world? Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:24 says we are saved by hope. We are saved by love. We are saved by grace. Ooh, hallelujah. The only hope we have in this house this morning is the love of God.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you this morning, there ain't nobody in this place too perfect. There ain't nobody in this place that's lined up just right enough. Amen. For you to be an exception without the love of God. I'm here to tell you the love of God is the only reason you have a reason to wake yourself up in the mornings. The love of God is the only reason you have to get out of bed in the morning. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, love covereth all sins. It was that love from Calvary. It was that love from Calvary that flowed down a post. That red blood flowed down a hill, Golgotha. And it was the hope of the world. It was the hope of the world. The only reason, amen, you can lift your head up today is because there was a God that died on a cross for your sins. Oh, come on. It wasn't just because of your sins. It was because you sinned. God knew what you were going to face. God knew what you were going to go. I'm telling you, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. It's hard for me not to let emotions flood me when I think of a God that hung on a cross in misery. When I think of a God that knew my shortcomings, that knew my faults, that knew my failures. He said, I don't care. I love them enough. Amen for them. I love them enough that I'm going to die right here. I can understand. I can understand a little bit of a God that would die for your sins and you never sin. But what I'm telling you, what gets me is that he hung on that cross and he knew when I was going to be born. He knew the hair on my head. He would know the number. He died from the foundation of the world. He knew from the very beginning that I was going to sin. He knew from the very beginning that I was going to fall. Ooh. And he said, I still love him. I still love him. I'm healing you tonight and in this morning in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost so strongly talking to people this morning. Amen. You feel like God's forsaken you. You feel like God has left you. You feel like it's all over. But I'm telling you, God loves you. God loves you. Woo. Romans 8:35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors in him that loves us. I want to tell you this morning, amen, that you are more than a conqueror when you can wrap your head around that God loves you. Can't nobody walk, amen, in my life and make me walk away from God. Amen. Nobody can separate me from his love, because his love's always going to be there. I'm going to tell you this morning, the only person that can separate you from the love of Christ is you. The only way that you can walk away is you. The Bible says in verse 38, says, for I am persuaded. I wish you would say that this morning. For I am persuaded. Not neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor depth, nor height, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You need to make up in your mind this morning. Amen. A four-letter sentence. Amen. For I am persuaded. You need to make up in your mind today. You can walk through life saying, I am persuaded. You can make up in your mind today. I am persuaded that nobody can stop me. Nobody can make me walk away. There's nothing too bad enough. Not enough troubles that I can walk away from God. Woo. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, who is rich. God that's rich in mercy. Hosea was rich in mercy. For his love, therewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 and 17, the Bible says, and I'm quickly trying my best to come to a close. Ephesians 3 and 17, the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It's not enough for God just to love us, but we have to be rooted and grounded in loving Him. So many people get it wrong. They say, God is love. God is love. That's biblical. God help us. But there's going to be people that God loves that are just like Gomer, that never get it right. God's not going to make you serve Him. God's sure enough not going to make you love Him. But we see a switch in Hosea 2 and 16, my last scripture in reading and your hearing. The Bible says, it shall be at that day. There was a day that Hosea looked. The Bible says, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shall no more call me Belai. We see Gomer runs off again. And as soon as Gomer gets back in her sin, I don't think it was rebellion. It was just an entrapment of the world that she was in. I know, I'm telling you right now, when God pulled me out of the world and the lifestyle I was in, it's hard for me to work with people, Brother Jared, that struggle with living for God, and because I never struggled. Not that I never had shortcomings or fall, but I never wanted to backslide. But I can tell you, problems came. Problems happened, and it was a pull of a world that I'd get myself in a mess, and I'd say, God, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to come back to this world, but yet here I am in the middle of what you pulled me out of. And I feel like that's the same way Gomer was. She wanted to stay with Hosea. She didn't want to go back to her old life, but it was something that kept dragging her there. And finally she sees Hosea coming again with the embarrassment of a prophet walking through the slums. And she sees him and she begins to weep. And she begins to weep and she says, Baali, I am sorry. Baali, will you forgive me? Baali, will you take me back home? Because I don't want to be here. And I feel like there was something that switched in the mind of Hosea. And he said, that's it. He grabbed her and said, Gomer, you can't call me Baali anymore. The word Baali means master. It's somebody that has to be a servant. But he said, I don't want you to call me Baali anymore. That's the why you can't live for me. That's why you can't stay home and be with me. It's because you look at me as a master and you look at yourself as a bondwoman. You look at yourself as somebody that's lowly. But no, he said, if you want to get the love for me, you got to call me Ishai. You got to call me your husband. You got to fall in love with me, Gomer. You got to have a relationship. You got to have a relationship with God if you want to make it living for him. You got to have a personal relationship with him. Come to the piano. I'm going to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how bad you want to live for God. If you don't have a relationship with him, you won't make it. I'm telling you right now, the world is too strong. Sin is too deep. Amen. For you to be able to play around. What you need today is a relationship. You can't be Baali anymore. You can't do this because mom and daddy does it. You can't do this because pastor expects it, but the reason I do this is because I have a relationship. The reason I live the way I live is not because my pastor beat it in me, but the reason I live the way I live is that God, I want a relationship with you. God, I want to be an Ishai. As Baali, You have to. Regulation. But when it becomes Ishai, it's I want to. It's I want to. It's I want to. I'm going to tell you this morning, and it's happening all over Pentecost. You hear me in the Holy Ghost. The reason we're having trouble with retention rates and the reason people can't stay with God is because when they come in the house, they love God, they want to stay here, but they put God on their back and they're a taskmaster saying, I have to come to church. I have no other option. I have to go or the pastor's going to call me. I got to do this. I got to look this way. I got to dress this way. And it becomes your taskmaster. But what happens when you really get the goods is when you take God off your back and you put him in your heart and say, God, I'm going to wake up on a Sunday morning and there's no way. Oh, come on. There's no way I can miss your house. God gave you free will. No one makes me come to church. No one makes me live for God. But I'm telling you, the reason I do it is because I got a relationship. Come on, you got to be able to grow with God today. Amen. You got to treat God like you treat your spouse. You got to have a relationship. You got to be connected. You got to be truthful. Come on, you got to stay together. That's what you got to have today with God. How is your relationship with God this morning? That's what I want to ask you. How is your relationship with him? Is God your taskmaster? Or is he your lover? Are you in love with Jesus Christ? Come on, I know you come to his house. I know you're here today. But are you really in love with him? And you say, yes, I'm in love with him. Okay? If you treated God, if you treated your spouse like you treat God, would your wife know that you love them, or would your husband know that you love them? Let me tell you something. When you're truly in love with God, this ain't a 3 or 4 time a week. This ain't just a Sunday, Wednesday. And when you're in revival, it's not just a Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing. But you're in love with Him every day. God, I love you. God, I need you. If you only spoke to your wife 3 times a week, she would be worried. She would be insecure. Your marriage would be on the rocks. But somebody that you're in love with, your life revolves around them. I'm telling you right now, my life revolves around with my wife. Our lives revolve around God, but our life together is everything together. I couldn't imagine one day without my wife. I couldn't imagine one day without being a seer. I don't even like it when I got to go off or preach or something like that, because there's a love, there's a relationship there. And that's what God is saying today. We got to get that love for Him. God, work on each and every one of us. Because our love has to be so strong with Him. Because even when you don't want to go back to the world, you'll find yourself there. And say, God, how did I get here? I know you've only known me a week, and I'm being transparent, but I'm telling you, there was times in my teenage years, and I didn't want to backslide. I never want to leave the church. I would find myself in the worst areas. I'd find myself in the worst mistakes, and I'd say, God, I don't even want this. Why am I here? And it was a relationship issue. It was a relationship issue. I wonder if you can call Him Isha today, my husband. I wonder if, come on, you're the bride of Christ today. That's what God's coming. When God comes back after, He's not coming back after you and I. He's coming back after His bride. Woo, come on, you hear me today. It don't matter how good you've been. He's coming back after a bride. It doesn't matter how much money you give. He's coming back after a bride. He's coming back after somebody that had a relationship. He's coming back after a bride. He's coming back after a bride. Oh, God. God's looking for a bride today. God's looking for a bride.